Amen to that song right there. Amen to that one. I said, you know, did you see the beginning? How the lights went off? Did you see that little lights went off? Were we going to have sound up here to be able to project the song like that in the worship out? Were we going to have that? We didn't know, did we? A little distraction there, wasn't it? A little distraction. Maybe, I don't know about you musicians, but when something like that's like, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, a little distraction. Don't know if it's from the evil one, for the Lord himself to say, hey, focus on me. What comes out, what you hear, you're going to see that it's me. Let me be the one that grabs the focus. And we're blessed, aren't we? You know, that song is a great, great bridge right into the message today. I hope you came to the banquet table to eat. I hope you got your fork and your knife ready to dig into God's Word today, because you're going to get some great teaching that's going to transform your life if you allow it. Are you ready to let God's Word transform your life today? Because He will transform. His Word is alive and it's living. It will transform and renew our minds, put us steadfast and to walk in this life with Him hand in hand. And I'm serious today. If you've come ready to eat, you're going to get something that's going to fill your soul in such a way that it will transform your life. Let's go into prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for the message that you have for us to hear, Lord. Lord, draw us into your presence, Lord. Draw our minds, the distractions aside, that you are the only one we hear. As you speak to our hearts and our minds through your word today, draw us, renew us, cut off the things that are dead. Restore with your life-giving spirit, Lord. Lord, David prayed an anointing on this place, that you'd give a freshness and anointing, Lord. He doesn't know that's what we're going to be talking about today, is your anointing. But we want it, and we desire. Do you desire that, church? God's touch in your life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be reading in Philippians 3, 1 through 3. Is a group of scripture that we have been working through and seeing and picking apart and dissecting to see what God wants to share with us. We've already looked at, Paul has reminded us of this great salvation that we have. And then we looked at these false doctrines, is what we're going to be, what we looked at last week. And then now looking into this week, understanding how a believer lives. So if you're able and you're willing and you can, you may stand and read if you'd like with me. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me. It's a safeguard for you. Beware the dogs, beware the evil workers, beware the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, or the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. You may be seated. You know, into last week, have you been applying last week's message into your life to identify the philosophies and the ideologies of the people that you've talked with, or the avenues or the venues of entertainment that you enjoyed through this week? Have you taken what God had given you last week and applied that into your life? If not, you've missed out. If you've taken it and you've started to apply it into your life to see what philosophies the world is projecting, what philosophies and ideologies you believe, what theologies you have about God. Lord, change those things that are not in the right direction. What is actually perverted in my mind about who you are? If you've taken those and said, Lord, help me today, help me this week, then you're on a road of drawing closer to Him. If you've forgotten about the message and just said, well, that was just a message that Pastor gave, and great, nice, was good, that was nice, wonderful. And then moved on with your life, you're missing out, friends. You're missing out with what God wants to continue to direct and drive in your life. Hopefully you're spending time with Him on your own and having your own Bible studies with Him and talking with Him. Well, today we're going to compare, Paul is comparing the circumcision of the law and the circumcision of the Spirit today. In verse 3. There's a difference in living in life or in living in death. There are going to be these two. Living in the circumcision of the law, you're going to live in death. Circumcision of the Spirit, you're going to live in life. It's that contrasting, it's that simple, and it's that plain and clear for us. We understand these differences, that we can live those differences with the Spirit of God in our lives, and then we can share this difference with other people. You know, as an example of something that this takes place, we got a new devotional with our kids. Michelle found one in the store, picked it out. It goes along with the Bible that we have for the kids. And we read the first one together as a family. And it's talking about courage. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Be courage. Be courageous. Go after your dreams and make them happen. Go after them. And God has given you abilities. What dreams He gives you, go after and make those things take place. And at the end of that devotion, I said, guys, I don't agree with that. Put a little God language in there. Put a little humanism in there. It's like, son, daughter, it's not about what I want. It's not about what dreams that I want to make happen. This is about, I'm His servant. Yes, I'm to be courageous and confident in Him and where He's leading, directed where He wants me to go. Not what I think I would like to attain and be courageous because I have Jesus with me, so I'll do what I want. Said, they've missed it. I'm courageous in Christ, where He leads me, where He says to go. Is this a desire that I should have? This, I want to become a baseball player is what I wanted to be so badly. Lord, please help me to be the one. And I'll play my heart out. I'll go and I'll share Your gospel with all the people that I meet. You help me to be courageous in that. That's a good thing. But did I ask God, is this what You want? Eventually I said yes. And then He started to direct and say, that's not what I have for you in your life. Following Him as His servant, being courageous in that, that's what that message should have been about. But putting a little bit of Christianity with a little bit of humanism, you're going to get the circumcision of the flesh. It's going to be so close and so deceiving. That's why it's so important for us to renew our minds and to spend time with Jesus to make sure our mindset and our thought process is moving in the direction that He wants, and our philosophies and ideologies of this world do not affect us. Because it might affect the way we think of Scripture, and may we look at who God is. Well, as we get into verse 3, Paul says we are the circumcised. In SAV it says the true circumcision. They throw that word true circumcision in there because they want us to understand there's a difference between the circumcision of the flesh and the circumcision of the Spirit. So they throw the word true in there. If you have any other translation, they leave that word out. They have the circumcision. But in the Greek, there's two separate different words, and these are very important for us to understand. But this word circumcision, according to the relating it to the worshipers of the true of God, has three participles that modify the subject we. He's going to give us three other words that are going to talk about who we are as those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Two of those participles are going to be in the present, which means a continuous action, something that should be taking place continually in our lives, continually. Very important to understand that part. And then one is in the past, which is going to show it was something that happened in the past. It's already been dealt with, and it affects us in the future. Very important to understand these participles as we look at it. We who are circumcised, we serve the Spirit of God. That's going to be the first participle phrase. The second one, we boast and we glory in Christ Jesus, which is going to be the second. And we had not trusted in the flesh is going to be our third. Now, as we jump into verse 3, Paul is going to make a stark comparison in verse 2. The word circumcision that he uses in verse 2, if you look back there, it's really in Greek, it's mutilators. Ones who are just destroying the body for the sake of religious activity. He's using a gruesome word. He wants the people to see, you know what? Those people who teach that doctrine, who teach that belief system, they are mutilators. They have messed it up. And if you follow them, you're mutilating yourself in their thinking as you accept it. But those who follow Christ, in verse 3, he uses the word circumcision. The act of what they would do to circumcise a baby at day eight after they're born. What they would know is this is the natural processes of what God has told the people of Israel to do. But now in the New Testament for Christians, it's a metaphor that separates us from the uncleanliness of the way of living that the world lives. To be separated and now placed in what God wants us to, how He wants us to live. Morally pure. As we look back and see the first participle, latreo, which means to serve or to worship. God in the sacrificing and the service of doing the priestly services. So as I look back and I see in verse 3, we are the true circumcision who worship. This worship, or you might have the word serve in your translation. Two different words, but they're trying to get this idea to us that we worship God in the Spirit of God. This word gives us this idea that we are sacrificing our services, giving, offering gifts to worship God in an observance of rites and institutions for His worship, for worshiping Him. So he's using a word of what a priest would do. I'm giving, I'm offering, I'm sacrificing for you, God. How? By your Spirit I do this. It's in the present tense, so it's continually, this is something we continually do. We continually offer ourselves to God in a service of worship. Are you doing that today? Do you do that when you wake up? Do you have an attitude, a mentality that says, God, I'm getting up, and whatever I do today, I'm offering it as a service of worship for you. That, but I'm doing it by the Spirit of God in me. It's by the Spirit of God that I can do this. So Lord, I come, and as I come and I lay myself before you today, I want today to start off with you. I want to worship you, Lord, but Spirit, I need your help to be able to do this in my life. I need you to help me to be able to think like you, Jesus. I need you to be able to help me to serve you, because in me and my flesh, I can't do it. And then you get up, and then you walk, and you go and you have breakfast. And then you get in your car, and you might go to work, or you might turn on the TV, or you might call a friend, or you might go work at the food pantry, or you might do something that's whatever it is for that day. But are you continually in that state of mind that this is for Jesus as worship? This is part of the true circumcision. Those who are of Christ, that's our mindset. Is that your mindset? Because he's describing those who truly love Jesus. If you don't think about that and you don't care about that, you have to question, do I really love Jesus? Do I want him? Do I want to serve him with my life? You have to ask that question. And this service, as I mentioned, is done by the Spirit of God. And it's clarified by that prepositional phrase. By who is it done? By the Spirit. Now, John the Baptist spoke of this towards the end of his ministry. that to prepare the people, the Messiah that was going to come, he was going to free the people from sin and death and the control as they accept him as the Savior and Lord. Because I have accepted Christ and he has set me free from sin and death and the chains of it, now I can live unto him. How? By the Spirit of God in my life. Matthew 3:11 says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, the song that was sung for us, absolutely beautiful song, tells us the first part of the story up into the resurrection of Christ. Now, the second part of that story, and it's not to be left out, is the part that he is going to give us that Holy Spirit to be baptized into so that we can be serving and worshiping God with our lives every single moment of the day, continually. Now, you might be sitting back and you're thinking, I don't do that, Pastor. To be quite honest, my mind does not go there. I don't think about living and serving God every single moment of the day. Okay. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because that's the only way it can happen. Let God take over in your life. Let God be the one who moves you. This is what Paul is telling us. Let it continually be the one who's directing and moving your life. John 16:7, Jesus says, and the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. There's the promise. The one who is going to help us, living continually with him, in surrender, to that we can worship God in service to him. We see the relationship that we have with the Savior and with God himself by serving him. Now, to get a little bit of we have to get a little bit of a background to understand a little bit about what this Holy Spirit that he's going to come and he's going to give us, this anointing of God in our lives. We need to get a little bit of a background to understand this a little bit better. And I think this is freeing. The more we understand this, and I absolutely encourage you, and I'll tell you this now, take the notes, meditate on this week. Let God drive this truth into your life, because this will transform your life and how you live and how you move and how you think, how you struggle with certain sins. God will free you as this comes to light for you. Olive oil was used in the Old Testament, and it was given to the people used it to moisten their skin. So they'd get oil and they would put oil and all over to moisten the skin, because it was very arid and very dry in the Middle East. But they'd also mix that oil with fragrances and aromas so that there wasn't a lot of water, so not a lot of showers being taken. And they would mix it with those oils and they would put it on their skin and it would make them smell good. It's very nice. So we have this, already the people understand we're going to have oils that are going to soften the skin so it doesn't dry out, doesn't start to crack and flake off, right? Your skin. Crack. But also we have oil that's going to make us smell good, a good aroma, so people might want to be around me. So we have those ideas already in the mindset of the people. But there was also this special oil, anointing oil that God would call it, in Exodus 30:22-33, and it had a special application with a special purpose. Special application with a special purpose. In Exodus 30:25, it says, you shall make all of these holy anointing oil. He talks about all the things you use to make it, all the materials. You shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a perfume mixture, the work of a perfumer. It shall be an anointing holy oil. The purpose of this special oil, and it, as verse 26, with it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and its utensils, and the lampstand, and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, and all of its utensils, and the lavar, and the stand. You shall also consecrate them, and they will be most holy. Whoever touches them shall be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, and they will be ministers as priests to me. This special oil, separated, specially designed. And no one was ever to make this. We'll see in a little bit. Separated, consecrated, strictly for God. The tent, the place where God was going to reside. The people who were going to minister inside the tent, the priests, all of them separated and set aside for worship and service to the king. And it was holy unto the Lord, and it was unique, and it should not be replicated. In verse 32, and it shall not be poured on anybody's body. Not just anybody gets this oil. It's not just something to be thrown out just for anybody to use, just for the sake of using it. It was sacred. It was holy. It was special. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman shall be cut off from his people. This was serious. God wants the people to understand, yes, you have oils for everyday life. And now you have this oil that is special. It's my oil, used for only specific purposes. This oil is a foreshadow of the Holy Spirit. Separate, sacred, not to be abused. You see what God's doing? The common and the special. The special anointing oil was given at God's direction. You knew when this special oil was going to be used, and you knew what was going to be taking place. Whoever was going to get this oil, they were taken, they were separated, and they were used for worship and service for the king. Let's go back to verse 3 in Philippians. Continually using that participle. For the continual use of, for the king. Not just when I feel like I want to be used by God. Not just when I feel like I want to do something for him. But continually, the mindset of serving the king in this relationship. Well, this was poured on the heads of either somebody who was a priest, a king, and there was a prophet who had this special anointing. These principles that stand out from a special anointing, they would stand out from the rest of the people. They would do the service for God, and that service was lifelong for God. Lifelong. In Leviticus 8:30, consecrate Aaron and his garments and his sons and his garments with him. They were to be subject. Everything about them was supposed to be subject to the Lord. Nothing was theirs anymore. Nothing was theirs anymore. You know, we've talked about tithing and giving. Tithing has the idea of giving. Here's your 10%. Giving says everything is yours, God. Not one thing is yours any longer. Not one. They also were specially protected. 1 Samuel 24:9. And I said, I will not stretch my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And this is David talking to Saul. I will not stretch my hand out against you, when he could have easily killed him and stabbed him in the back and gotten rid of the evil king, Saul. But he said, no. I already know that God's hand of anointing was on your life, because I listen to what you said when you anoint the temple and the priests, and the prophet comes and anoints the king. That's a special thing that takes place that I have no right to stand in the way of, even if I disagree with it. So I want to touch him. And in Psalm 105, verse 15, do not touch my anointed ones, the Lord God says, and do my prophets no harm. Anointings mentioned in Scripture in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and it talks about to the priests. Samuel, Book of Samuel, 1 and 2, Kings, 1 and 2, and Chronicles, 1 and 2. It talks about the anointing to the kings. And then in 1 Kings 19:16, there's one prophet who's anointed, Elisha. And it's significant. So we see that we got the priests, we got the kings, and we got the prophet. And we know Jesus to be called the prophet, the king, and the priest of us. That he fulfills all of these roles. Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one in prophecy. In Psalm 2:2, the kings of the earth take their stand and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Prophecy of the Messiah, who is Jesus, is this king who's going to be victorious. In Daniel 9:25, so you are to know and discern from that which was issuing a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the anointed one, the prince. There will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with a plaza and a moat, even at the times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and having nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there's war, desolations to be determined. So the Messiah, the prince, it will come, prophesying of what would take place. As we know, Jerusalem was destroyed after Jesus in 70 AD. But Messiah and Christ mean anointed one. So they're looking for this one that God is going to use this special anointing on, his special purpose, that's going to show, look, I am doing this. Every Old Testament king, priest, and Elisha the prophet, God is the one who's saying, this is the one I'm selecting out for a special purpose. Prophecy in the Old Testament that the anointed one was going to be the one that was going to bring salvation to the people. As they look for a military leader, we also look for a spiritual leader. Jesus fulfills spiritual death, and he will give us freedom and a life. Isaiah 61:1, and the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The Messiah, the anointed one, is proclaiming what God is doing in his life. God has separated me from all of you for a special purpose, to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and set the prisoners free. That's what the Messiah is supposed to do. If that's what Jesus is, if the Messiah, that's what he did and continues to do today. And it's true, that's who he is. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to giving them a garland instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus himself proclaiming prophecy of himself in Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he was, as custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up and to read. And the book of the prophet of Isaiah, he was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And this is Isaiah 61:1-3, which I just read. And Jesus reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim and release to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind and set free those who were oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closes the book. And he gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him because Jesus is saying, you know that anointed one? This is the one. Me. I'm the one who has been proclaimed to be the Messiah. I'm the fulfillment of the prophecy, the one who's going to set you free. We know in Matthew 4 that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and at the end of chapter 3, comes down upon him. This anointing, God specifically saying, I am anointing this one. This is the one that you all should look at and see is the one who's going to bring salvation to the people. Jesus accepts this title as the Messiah in Matthew 16:6. Simon Peter answered, you, are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because the flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but it is my Father in heaven who did. And John 4:25, and the woman said to him, I know the Messiah, the anointed one, is coming, who is called the Christ, or the anointed one. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus says to her, I am. I who speak to you am he. So Jesus accepts the fact that he is the Messiah, the one that God has said, you are the one I have sent to be the Savior of the world. Now, how does this circumcision and anointing work together? We're going to try to piece this together. Jesus is the Messiah, the one who is the anointed one, the one that God has separated. God showed that in the Old Testament. What I do, what I separate with the special anointing oil, which is the Holy Spirit, representation of the Holy Spirit, I will separate. He separates the Messiah, Jesus, very clearly for the people, so that they could look at him and say, okay, you accept yourself as the Messiah, now I reject you as the living Savior eventually, the one who's going to die for us. I reject you because you're saying you're the Messiah. Now prove it to me. And he proves it by raising up from the dead, doesn't he? So how does this circumcision that Paul is talking about and this anointing being the true circumcision connect together? Circumcision was done only to a man. The life seed that comes from a man through his male part goes to the woman's egg and life begins. However, that life begins is already dead. Why? Because the sin of Adam and Eve's disobedience. But Adam's disobedience, it's already dead. That life seed is dead. It's been corrupted. The law circumcises the flesh, where the sinful corrupted seed produces forth this sinful corrupted woman's egg. Through the cutting of the flesh, it absolutely means nothing. It doesn't bring life. Just because the priest would come and they would cut off the skin, and they thought, hey, now I'm separated and I'm consecrated to God. I am a Jew who now is separated from the world, so I'm safe. It doesn't do anything. It's just a cutting of the flesh that Paul is pointing out. This was God's implementation of the practice that speaks of a deeper truth for us. One that only the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. The painful process of cutting that skin on the male, where life is supposed to begin, but it was dead. God says, I'm going to circumcise the heart to bring life back into what was dead. Sinful, corrupted seed joined with that egg, creating a corrupted person, but now the Spirit of God is going to come in and do an amazing work in the life of those who desire it. He will cut away the places of deadness in our lives, and he will place in us a brand new heart, alive before God, righteous before him because of the anointing properties or the abilities of the Spirit of God that is going to come into the believer. Ezekiel 36:25 tells us of this before it happens. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put within you a new spirit. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave your forefathers so that you will be my people and I will be your God. This done by God's anointing of the Holy Spirit in the life where he puts brand newness in us. Now the heart can live for God through the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the heart that has been circumcised by the Spirit through faith and belief in God's promise of being of the atonement of our sins through Jesus the Messiah on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. This separates us from the world. This is what takes us from being a person in the world and now being a worshiper and servant in the Most High King's palace, serving him continually every day. every single moment. Why and how? By the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's the one who creates new life of heart. He's the one who cuts off the deadness. John 14, 26, by this helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send, he will bring to you, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. If you have said, Jesus, I accept your death on the cross, and I accept your resurrection, and he says, well, great, now I've given you my Holy Spirit to live within you. So now that I will bring to you remembrances of times that you spend time with me, I'll bring remembrances of you, of reading the scripture that you read, I'll teach you. I'll teach you how to love. I will take your broken, twisted mind and I will straighten it out, because it's going to be me who's breaking off the dead in your life to give you new life. Where when somebody says something nasty about you, you can love them in the midst of it. Because that's how what I do. I love my enemies. And I'll teach you how to do the same. God is an amazing God, how he transforms that. John 15, 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the mouth of the Father, he will testify about me. And what will he do for us? The promise of the Spirit in Acts 1, 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the world. That's not just for the disciples and those who were around them at that time in 2,000 years ago. That's for us today. I will give you the Holy Spirit so that you will be my witnesses. Not witnesses of dead flesh trying to adapt and make yourself a little bit better so that your behavior looks nice and neat and righteous and good. I will transform your heart so that they see me in you. They see me in you. And you will be my witness. Continually serving. Continually worshiping me. How? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. An anointing from the Holy One. Who is that? The Spirit. And you all know, and I'll jump down to verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, it is just as I've taught you. You abide in him. That anointing, where circumcision is of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the person. The anointing that God showed in the temple that said, I will be the one who anoints the kings, the priests, the prophets, so that they have a purpose and they will show me to the people. And then in the New Testament, he says, if you believe in me, and I died on the cross for you, and I have risen, I will give you my anointing in your life so that you can be the witnesses of me to the world. And you can be with me and commune with me non-stop. Non-stop. Paul is describing the believer who wants to be with the King non-stop. I think the times where I regret the most is when I look back in life and I said, Lord, I was living for me there. Lord, I was living for me there. Lord, I was living for me there. I wasn't serving you as the King. I wasn't serving you and worshiping you in the Spirit. I was not. I was living in my flesh there. Lord, I'm sorry for those things. He's a redeeming God, isn't he? 1 John 4 says that when we sin, we have an advocate in heaven who says, okay, that one's mine right there. They messed up, but that's what I died for. He's not asking us to live for to be perfect. He's asking us to live in a relationship that is continual, that is desirous to work and to worship and to serve him. That's the true circumcision. The ones who have been stricken in their spirit by the Holy Spirit, who have died through their own ways and has said, I want to live for you. Help me do that. Spirit, teach me. Show me. Guide me. This is the truth of God's word. Go out this week. Invite the Spirit to be a part of your life, in your daily routines. Talk to Him and listen for His response. This is that intimate relationship that He wants to have with us. And then, share Him with somebody else. Share Him. The truth of God's Word is that He lives in you. He talks to you, and He walks with you. It's up to you to spend time with Him. It's up to you to talk to Him. It's up to you to ask Him to take away the flesh in your life. Remove it, Lord, because I can't. Remove it. I need you. I need you in absolutely everything. Be with me, Lord, till I'm 100% dead in my own self and you live 100% alive. And then make that happen over and over and over again. This is what Paul is talking about, those who are the circumcised. That when people look at your life and they see, you know what, that one is different than this world. Why? It's not because they spend time in the morning reading God's word. It's not because they're helping some ministry. It's not because they're giving things away. It's because the Holy Spirit is seen in their lives in such a way that I only know love because I see it. I see God in them. If you don't believe the Spirit of God lives in you today, you're missing out. You're missing out in your total relationship with God. God's word is full and clear that He lives in you. Lord, draw us to you. Help us to want to live for you in a way that we want to live with you continually. Because when that takes place in the life of a believer, the bickering stops. When that takes in the place of a life of a believer, grace is given and it abounds. When that takes in the life of a believer, this place becomes the city on the hill that God wants it to be. That's when it happens. If you want to choose to live in the flesh, live in the flesh. But guess what? You're not of the true circumcision. You're of the flesh circumcision. Choose who you will serve today. Let the Holy Spirit live in your life and guide you and show you who He is. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you live in us. Lord, I thank you that you want to show us more of yourself in such deeper ways than we could ever imagine. Lord, we ask that you come and fall upon us, that your word just becomes so alive in us that we desire you so much, that you consume us, Lord, that we want to serve you and we want to worship you and do the things that are just pleasing to you. And we do it not because of our own strength, but because of your Spirit who lives in us, that you give us the ability to be able to do it. Lord, help us to understand that. How that looks. Help us to die to our own desires and let you place new ones in us. It's not a formula. It's a relationship with you. Lord, you have to show us and you will show us. Lord, help us to take the time to let you do it. If you desire more in God in your life, come down. Let us pray with you. Pray with somebody at your seat. Call out to Him today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.